This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. They live in every nook and cranny in your body, from your belly button to your armpits. And grouped together, they are nearly the same weight as the human brain. I'm talking about microbes, and scientists are exploring how they affect health. A new exhibition at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh introduces you to your microbes. The exhibition runs through March 12th. Julie Horvath is a comparative evolutionary genomist and the head of the museum's Genomics and Microbiology Research Lab. Rob Dunn is a writer and a professor of applied ecology at NC State University. And they collaborated on this new exhibition. They join me live now from the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. Julie and Rob, welcome to the program.
Great to be on, Frank.
Give us a taste of this exhibit. What are people going to see?
Hi, Frank. So the exhibit is really about the science of the microbes that live around us every day. And so it's the science of the microbes in our food, in our orifices, the microbes that benefit us and challenge us, and the ways in which we're linked to them no matter what we do.
Well, how we go. Yeah, and that's important. So tell us a little bit more about these links, because what we now call microbes are what we once called germs. So we're looking at these things a little bit differently than we did even a generation ago, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we sort of come full circle. So the earliest work on microbes thought of them mostly as beneficial. And we didn't know at that time in the 1600s and early 1700s to think of them as bad. And so people were really awed by the shimmering grandeur of what was all around us. And then germ theory came around. We realized some of these things could kill us. And then we went too far. And so I think we're at a moment when we need to recalibrate and realize that a bunch of these microbes that live with us, we can't live without and would die without. And some can kill us. And so we need to figure out how do we get rid of the bad ones in favor of the wondrous ones.
Now, tell us a little bit more about them. Where do we find them when we're talking about my microbes?
Everywhere. You are a part person, part microbe, and every part of your body you can think about has some microbial component. And so the way that your skin works is influenced by your microbes, the way that your gut works, the way that your mouth works, all over. Everything you do has some component that's you and some component that's them. And yeah, I think a fun part in that regard is our odors, most of which end up being largely microbial. And so what it is to smell a Frank is to smell your microbes.
But it also, it raises the question, who is Frank if he has this very definitely symbiotic relationship with what we have to call an ecosystem that Frank is not. Frank, he's an ecosystem that, and who knows who's who in this whole equation, right, Rob?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think in the dark, you're more ecosystem than you are Frank. And when the lights are on, we see the Frank.
All right, Julie, I'm going to test your mic again and your knowledge. Tell us a little bit again about the exhibit in particular and some of your research. Maybe I can ask you about that and where your research is focused.
Great. Yes, thank you. So the exhibit, we do have some parts of my research in the exhibit. And so I work on the microbes that live on skin, particularly in the armpit. And so we can talk about that a little bit later, because I think you have some pictures of what's growing in your armpit. And in the exhibit, we talk not only about the human microbes, but also non-human primate microbes, because I do study a lot of primate genetics and genomics, and now also primate microbes that live on the skin to understand how our evolutionary history has made us different from other primates.
I do indeed have some skin in this game, and you took it, Julie, you did. weeks ago, you swabbed me. Maybe you can describe that process and again, what you were looking for. So tell us what happened, and then what happened to the microbes that you took from me. And I have to tell you honestly, I missed them. But go
do
ahead.
You?
Yes, I do.
Well,
I mean,
you can have them back.
It was a part of
them.
No, but they've grown older. They wouldn't even recognize me anymore. They've changed so much.
Right. So you came to my lab a couple weeks ago, and we had this awesome Facebook Live event where we let you swab your own microbes, actually. Sometimes I swab people's microbes. Sometimes they swab their own microbes off of their skin. And you collected them on these rayon swabs that look like long Q-tips. And then I took those back to the lab on the bench and I grew them up on petri dishes, which had food for microbes. We call this LB media. And we grew your microbes up on a plate. And the first couple days of growth just looked like little white dots on this plate. And then over time, over 2 weeks, we actually got some really cool stuff growing on your armpit plates. So your right armpit has a lot of cool critters on it.
This is interesting, too, because there's a variation. My right armpit is not the same as my left, it turns out.
Correct. Yeah, and there is variation between people's right and left body parts. So right and left hands are very different. We talk about that in the exhibit. Right and left armpits for some people are very similar. Other people, they're very different. And so it looks like your right and left side are very different.
This is so cool. Do you think they vote? Do you suppose my left armpit is going for Hillary and the right is a Trump vote? I don't know.
You'll have to ask them.
I'm going to do that, but you've got them now. So actually, I have a whole new colony and I'm over them. But tell me what you found. And because you said they were interesting and they do look very different from each other. So when you look at them, what are you seeing?
Well, I see potentially things that are very, very beneficial for you. So like Rob mentioned or alluded to, they produce your body odor. So they drink your sweat. And then what they release as their volatile chemicals are these odors that other people smell. So maybe you can choose a mate by how you smell. Primates do that a lot. You are a primate. And so some of these microbes are good for you because they produce your body odor. Other microbes protect your skin. They create this stable ecosystem to ward off any pathogenic or disease-causing microbe. And so they do a lot of good things for you too. And so I'm trying to figure out some of those things. What all do they do? And then how can we use this type of analysis where we culture people's microbes and give them back pictures of their plates? How can we use that to engage people and teach them more about the health of their body?
And we know from an adaptive standpoint, our body odor is a good thing because we're not that fast. We're really not that strong. So it's good that we don't smell like we taste that good. That's been part of how we got here, right? Or at least how we stayed. Have you given any thought? I mean, I know this is, you know, we're in the middle of doing the research now, and this is what you're looking for. But any speculation on why there would be a difference between the right and the left? One would think that, you know, all of these beneficial things, making use of my body, my making use of them, why would they care if they're on the right side or the left, and why would they be different?
Well, you know, you have different glands on different parts of your body, and so maybe you have more on one side or the other, and I don't think we know exactly why there might be some of these differences, but that's a really great question and maybe something we could explore more with further research.
Rob, I understand you're currently working on research that identifies the relationship between microbes and people's lifestyles, right?
Yeah, so we're really interested in what can you predict about somebody based on their microbes, or what can you predict about somebody's microbes based on their lifestyle? And some of that you can see in the exhibit. You can actually explore your own lifestyle and how it relates to what microbes you might have. But for example, if we can tell based on who lives in your house which microbes are likely to be floating around and landing on you and in your house. And so a house that's mostly inhabited by women is very different from a house that's mostly inhabited by men. This confirms our sort of anecdotal understanding of the lives of men and women, but it also turns up microbially. And so if you give us a swab of a house without telling us anything about it, we can do a pretty decent job of telling whether it's men or women who live in that house, partially because of vaginal bacteria, but partially because men are leaving armpit bacteria everywhere to a greater extent than women. But we can also tell, do you have a dog? Do you have a parrot? We can tell about where you live. And so I got a funny phone call one day when I was doing laundry late at night, and the person said, if we sent you a box, could you swab the dust in the box and tell us based on the microbes where the box came from? And I said, well, who is this? And they said, a government agency. And I said, well, I'm doing laundry. And so somehow that moved forward, and we decided to check with our data. Could we do this? Could we, based on swabs we've taken in houses, tell where a sample came from based on which species were found on that swab? And we can within 100 kilometers. And so we're now working with the Army Research Office to figure out, could we do this with explosive devices and the tape that's on an explosive device to figure out where it might have come from? And so there's a whole world that we're starting, now that we're looking at these microbes anew, there are many things that we could do in the future that we hadn't thought about doing in the past. And that's a pretty unusual example, but I think it speaks to how open this world of microbes is.
Talking to Rob Dunn and Julie Horvath at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Science, where there's an exhibit on microbes. Pictures of mine are on display, and I should say that if you go to our website now, stateofthings.org, should you be interested, you can actually see how my microbes have evolved in that petri dish over this number of weeks. And also, Facebook Live has the harvest, the famous harvest of the microbes, and you can watch that as well. And Julie, I have to point out that when I asked you, you know, because there's been some The staff was shocked that I took my shirt off. Now, if we're at the beach, no big deal, but standing there in the lab, apparently a scandal. But it was better that I did that, because you didn't want this rayon swab to be come in contact with my clothes, which would offer a different bouquet of microbes,
right.
I guess. So I just I want to point that out. Anyway, our Facebook link is now on the website, stateofthings.org. All the pictures are there, time-lapse and everything. What, Julie, are there different species of microbes? In other words, is there just a kind of a general array of microbes that you might find and then more or less, and that's what's interesting? Or are there whole different animals that you find on me that you might not find on someone else?
Yeah, certainly. Different people have very different animals on them. And some of yours are very different than what we find on other people.
Ooh, like what? Like what?
Oh, I don't know, because we haven't done the full analysis.
Okay.
So I know you have a lot of Staphylococcus organisms, maybe some Streptomyces. There's one that might look like a little bit of a brain.
I got a brain under my arm?
Yeah, I know, right? Your arm is brainy. So you certainly have some different critters under here that then grow on other people. And so each person is unique, and their microbes are also unique.
Wow. And
what's really cool is when we look at the non-human primates, you see a lot more soil and fecal-associated microbes on them. And most of us think that's dirty and we want to wash it off and get rid of it. But it turns out that might actually be really useful for wound healing and potentially a lot of other things for the non-human primates. So by doing these comparisons, we're starting to learn more about, how we've evolved and maybe changed our habits. And so deodorants and antiperspirants are things we use to get rid of these microbes, but maybe we're losing things that are actually beneficial for us.
Yeah, well, Rob, I guess that brings us to that bigger question that Julie's taking us to, which is that when we thought all these things were germs, we might be doing some damage to ourselves. And now some thought about the rise in autoimmune disorders and some of the other disorders, endocrine disorders, that may be related to over-sanitizing our human environments. Are you looking into that? Is there research into how we might be doing more damage, more harm than good?
Yeah, so I think there's a bunch of recent work that suggests that there are many ways in which, by losing particular key microbes or exposure to a diversity of microbes in general, that we're predisposing ourselves to a lot of these chronic diseases that are now more common. All of those diseases are pretty complex, and so, the link for any particular disease is still going to take a while to figure out. But the idea that by getting rid of too many of these beneficial or even just sort of benign microbes that we're disadvantaging ourselves, I think is now very clear. And so I think what we hope from the exhibit, that one of the things that people go home with is the idea that, stop using antimicrobial wipes. Use antibiotics only when you really need them. And figure out, are there ways in your daily life that you can benefit microbes that might be helping you? And the exhibit provides some sort of concrete examples of how to do that. But I think that's the kind of societal rethinking we need if we're going to seriously think about Crohn's disease, inflammatory bowel disease, asthma, allergies. It's a long list, and probably most of your listeners are dealing in one way or another with one of these diseases associated with these changes.
You've come up with a bit of a questionnaire, Rob, I understand, that can be useful in determining what? In determining maybe where I'm from and kind of what microbes I might be carrying. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's sort of two versions. We have one with the lab that you can find at the Rob Dunn Lab, but there's also one in the exhibit that allows you to engage digitally and think about, given the decisions I've made, which sorts of microbes am I likely to have? What am I likely to be missing, and how will that affect you? And it's done in a way that a kid can engage. And so the idea is that the people who are going to make the greatest discoveries about these microbes in the future are now about 8 to 13 years old. And so that's a great demographic for thinking about those questions.
Can you give us a sample? We'll do the questions right now. I don't mind. I've had my shirt off, so I can – whatever questions you've got, I might answer them.
Well, we'll go right to the heart of this, Frank. So do you use antiperspirant?
Antiperspirant, no.
Deodorant?
Yes.
So we can tell you in that context that you're disfavoring carinobacterium, one of these bacteria that's associated with body odor. And that's a bacterial group that's really, really common in all the other apes. And seems to have become less common in humans recently, and we think in part because of these changes in antiperspirant and deodorant use. And so that would be one.
Okay, but Julie said I have an increase in staph under my arm. I would decrease staph if I stopped using deodorant, so I'm not gonna
I think nobody you work with wants you to decrease staph.
Absolutely not. Go ahead. So now number two.
Another would be that, how often are you making live food in your kitchen? You know, are you making sourdough bread? Are you making kombucha? Are you eating yogurt that's live? That the growing indication is that those sorts of things influence not just what's in your kitchen, but what's on your body and in your body.
Well, the live stuff, I'd have to say, you know, bread once a week, maybe yogurt once a week, you know, like that. We'll make a little bread, eat a little yogurt. So
yeah, no. so you're likely to have a few more of those things like lactobacillus. But if you ate more of those, you'd be likely to have more of those in the daily swirl of microbes you walk through.
All right, one more question.
Sure. Do you use antimicrobial wipes?
No.
And so because you don't, you're likely to have on your skin more of the standard skin microbes that are helping to defend you against pathogens.
All right. This stuff is all. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. If you did use them, you would be killing off some bad stuff that had arrived on you, but also a bunch of the stuff you need to live a healthy life.
This is fascinating stuff. We've got links to more of it at our website, stateofthings.org. And I'm talking to Rob Dunn, a writer and a professor of applied ecology at NC State. Julie Horvath is a comparative evolutionary genomist and the head of the genomics and microbiology lab, research lab at the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. Rob and Julie, thank you so much.
What a pleasure to talk to you and to your microbes.
Me and my microbes.
Awesome. Thank you for this. Yeah.
Oh, sure. They collaborated on a new exhibit, The Secret World Inside You, at the Museum of Natural Sciences, that runs through March 12th. Got links at our website, stateofthings.org. A program produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton Ormond, Katie Barron, and Laura Pelliser. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I don't know what my microbes are called, but I'm Frank Stacia.